All right. In re interest of Marquisa C. Okay, we're up to in re interest of Marquisa C. Mr. Shanahan.
Morning, Your Honors.
Morning.
Jim Shanahan, Assistant Public Defender, on behalf of Lisa Cannon, the natural mother. Two of my arguments allege there was insufficient evidence for the termination to occur based on 292 subsection 2 and subsection 6. And I think what I argue is applicable to both those subsections. And I think looking at the totality of the circumstances concerning Ms. Cannon is very important. About a year before the termination of parental rights was filed, Judge Daniels ordered that family therapy occur. And unless I'm completely missing something, I don't see that that was ever arranged, or if it was, there's no evidence of when such therapy occurred or what, if any, progress Ms. Cannon was making. On top of that, the evidence clearly shows through the testimony of Ms. Gronemeyer that she, perhaps another service provider, but certainly the department on its own, canceled visits between Ms. Cannon and her infant, Alicia, who was diagnosed with Down syndrome. My final argument alleged insufficient evidence as it relates to the best interest of these children. And I don't know how the court could find that it's in the best interest of these children that Ms. Cannon's parental rights be terminated when there was no family therapy. The only people, if you look at the record from my argument, that observed Ms. Cannon were these visitation supervisors, Ms. Lucas. Ms. Lucas was the children's therapist, and she never had any contact with Ms. Cannon. There was no family therapist to observe Ms. Cannon. Ms. Cannon never had the opportunity to meet Dr. Bueller, who made the initial diagnosis of Alicia. Quite frankly, James Holt, who was Ms. Cannon's individual therapist, stated he had minimal contact with the department. It just appears that the department had an opinion of Ms. Cannon from some time ago that was not favorable to her, and they the department, carried out this case correspondingly. As it relates to the rest of the court orders, housing, income, individual therapy, the evidence clearly shows that Ms. Cannon was complying with those court orders and actually doing quite well. With respect to visitations, no, her attendance wasn't perfect. But as the court can see, through the facts, while there was some sporadic attendance by Ms. Cannon before visitations were placed on a call and confirmed status, she did quite well as far as attendance thereafter. And I think it was Ms. Akers who testified that about the approximate 66% compliance with visitation sessions before the call and confirm. But she did say thereafter that I believe Ms. Cannon only missed one visit, and it was due to a doctor's appointment. Ms. Engel, who was another visitation supervisor, talked about one missed visit, I believe the same missed visit due to a doctor's appointment, and two late show-ups for visits, although there were valid excuses. During the visits, there was talk of the interaction between Ms. Cannon and her children. And from what I see, the only people to actually observe Ms. Cannon with her children are these visitation supervisors, and they themselves even talked about the fact that an additional visitation supervisor was added because many, if not each, of these children has special needs and behavioral issues, and they thought that necessary because of these behavioral issues. Ms. Cannon, at many times, I believe, had four, if not five children at these visitation sessions, and I think for an hour or 2 hours, it's just impossible to give everyone the requisite attention. And she did bring and prepare meals for these children. That was talked about as far as what the Ms. Akers thought was healthy or unhealthy. My point is, it's not as though she didn't participate in these visits like it was made out to be. But I think the most telling thing in this case is as it relates to the best interest argument, and the department on its own, without court permission, deciding to cancel visits between Ms. Cannon and Alicia, as well as apparently not setting up family therapy, which was ordered a year earlier. The other argument, which I don't think the state can test at this point, is that the court did find that subsection 7 applied to minor child Myesha, and I think at best, given even the state's calculation, she was out of the parental home for 14 months as opposed to the required 15 months. I did want to also point out that Mr. Holt, Ms. Cannon's therapist, did testify of her participation, positive participation, in individual therapy. She acknowledged her own faults and the possibilities of certain outcomes regarding this case. He stated she showed good insight and wanted to continue, and quite frankly, he recommended more time so that all the service providers could meet with each other, which just wasn't done here. Family therapy, if it ever occurred, was between the foster parents and these minor children, not between these children and their natural mother, and obviously, our argument is that's just not right if the plan is reunification. Even when a termination of parental rights motion is filed, the department's still supposed to proceed with provision of services, much less follow the court orders. And I guess with that, Your Honors, I would submit the matter. I think there's more that could have been done here to possibly reunify this family rather than to resort to the last resort, that being termination of parental rights. I understand Ms. Cannon wasn't perfect at all the things she was ordered to do, but perfection, as the law states, is not required. And at this point, I'm open to any questions if the court has any. Otherwise, I would submit the matter.
Thank you, Mr. Cannon.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Amy Shuckman. I'm a Deputy Douglas County Attorney, and I respectfully request that you affirm the decision of the juvenile court in terminating the parental rights of Lisa Cannon as to her children, Bate, Kailisha, Fernandez, Denisha, Myesha, and Alicia. While it is true that the law does not require perfection of a parent, Ms. Cannon's attempts at parenting are far from even average. She has failed to provide an environment for her children to return home to, an environment that a safe, positive environment. Ms. Cannon is unable to control and parent her children during even a one-hour visitation session. Anita Akers, one of the therapists supervising the visitations, she wasn't just a visitation specialist. She was a therapist who was supervising visitations. She testified that she did not feel that Ms. Cannon could handle all of her children on her own during just a one-hour visitation session. In fact, other individuals, other visitation supervisors, were needed to assist with redirection and parenting because the mother was either unable or she failed to do so appropriately. The mother would threaten to end visitations early when the children had out-of-control behaviors. When the children did have problems, they would go either to the visitation specialist or to the therapist supervising the visitations instead of to their mother. And in fact, Ms. Cannon would direct the children to the professionals at times when approached, instead of handling the problems directly, thus showing either her inability or her lack of desire in parenting her children. Ms. Cannon's attendance and behavior at the visitations also shows her lack of desire to parent. Her attendance at visitations was very poor. Between February and August of 2008, she attended only 32 of 48 scheduled visitation sessions. She often arrived late or ended visitations early. At one point, later on in the case, Ms. Cannon was offered a two-hour time period, but instead she chose to have just a one-hour visitation session instead. Ms. Cannon also forgot birthdays. She forgot her daughter's birthdays, Tylesha, Denisha, and Myesha, resulting in the children being very upset. Tylesha even told a visitation therapist that this was the second year in a row her mother forgot her birthday. Ms. Cannon rarely brought helping meals for her children, despite redirection and teaching on this topic. Ms. Cannon's anger also was a problem at visitation sessions. At one scheduled visitation, she threatened a former therapeutic visitation therapist during a visitation, which resulted in the police being called out to the visitation. This occurred in front of the children, and when the police showed up, the children responded matter-of-factly as, my mother's going to jail. Ms. Cannon failed to provide appropriate care for her oldest child, Markeisha. Dr. Delawar, Markeisha's therapist, testified that Ms. Cannon did not follow up with follow-up treatment for Markeisha, who was a morbidly obese teenager, including appointments and blood testing. However, after being placed into foster care, Markeisha was losing weight and reported exercising regularly. Ms. Cannon was also not prepared to provide necessary proper parental care to her newborn, Alicia. At the time of Alicia's birth, Ms. Cannon did not have a crib, bottles, diapers, or other supplies to care for a newborn. The department even offered a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week service, an in-home service, so that the baby could stay with Ms. Cannon. However, Ms. Cannon refused this service, and therefore Alicia was removed at birth. Ms. Cannon has been provided with numerous reasonable efforts from the department, including parenting classes, therapeutic visitations, visitation specialists, therapy, parenting classes, but despite these services, Ms. Cannon was unable to correct the conditions which brought her to juvenile court. According to the last therapeutic visitation therapist, Ms. Cannon was failing to meet any of her therapeutic goals. Even Ms. Cannon's own therapist testified her progress was minimal. Ms. Cannon had been unable to provide the children with consistent redirection, a safe environment, or appropriate interactions during visitations. The therapist supervising the visitation testified that Ms. Cannon would often lose track of her children, would sit on the couch during visitations and not interact with all of her children. I think that there is an overwhelming amount of evidence showing that it is in the best interest of these children that Ms. Cannon's parental rights be terminated. Taking first Fernandez, his therapist testified that he doesn't even have a bond with his mother. Instead, he prefers his foster family. He calls himself a Bradley, which is the last name of his foster family. He verbalized to his therapist that he does not like visiting with his mother because the visits are chaotic and Ms. Cannon cannot follow through on the promises that she makes. During visitations, Fernandez keeps his distance from Ms. Cannon and does not interact with her. And according to his therapist, it would be in his best interest if Ms. Cannon's parental rights to him be terminated. As far as Fate is concerned, Fate has serious behavioral and mental health issues. At the time of the termination hearing, Fate was in a residential treatment center to deal with aggressive and self-destructive behaviors. He, out of all of these children, needs stability, structure, and consistency, and his mother has demonstrated in this case that she's unable to provide that to him. Tylesha's therapist testified that Tylesha is actually happy when visitations do not occur because Cannon is mean to her and calls her names during the sessions. Tylesha has verbalized to her therapist that she's worried about the possibility of returning home to Ms. Cannon. While the termination was pending, Tylesha's behavior, specifically food hoarding, increased in frequency. According to Tylesha's therapist, it would also be in her best interest if Ms. Cannon's parental rights to her be terminated. Picking out Denisha, when Denisha first became a state ward, she exhibited serious sexual acting out behaviors and also other victimized behaviors which warranted a diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder. During therapy, Denisha revealed that she had been sexually abused while living with her mother. And when confronted with this information during a therapy session, Ms. Cannon responded only by saying, I'll talk to Denisha about it. Thus also exhibiting her inability to handle her needs appropriately. Denisha's therapist also testified that it would be in Denisha's best interest if she had structure, a safe, stable home environment, and some permanency. Denisha had been out of the home, has been out of the home since August of 2006, as well as Tylisha and Fernandez. Faith was removed also in August of 2006. He was allowed to briefly return home from March of 07 until March of 08, but since March of 2008, he remained out of the parental home. Maisha also exhibited some severe sexual acting out behaviors starting at the age of 3. She was able to transition to Ms. Cannon's home for a period of time from March of 2007 until September of 2008. However, she was again removed because Ms. Cannon was unable to provide her with appropriate care. The older sibling, Markeisha, was instead providing this parental care to Maisha when it was Cannon's job to do this. Alicia, the youngest, was born in February of 2009 and was removed at her birth. She was diagnosed with Down syndrome and is such as in need of specialized care. Her physician testified that because of her Down's diagnosis, she's going to need a parent who has training in physical therapy and occupational therapy and who is also very consistent in parenting. Alicia's parent would have to be committed to the education and training process for parenting a child with Down syndrome. Ms. Cannon failed to even attend specialized visitations with Alicia following her birth. These visitations weren't unilaterally canceled by the department. Instead, it was Ms. Cannon who failed to attend these visitations, and because of her failure to attend the visitations, the visitation agency took her off the calendar because it was a time slot Ms. Cannon was not utilizing. Because of her failure to both take advantage of the 24-hour, seven days a week in-home parenting program and her failure to provide, to participate in visitations, it would be in Alicia's best interest if Ms. Cannon's parental rights to her be terminated. And unless there are any questions, I would simply ask that you affirm the decision of the juvenile court.
Okay. I think not. Thank you, Mr. Shuckman. Mr. Shanahan, do you have anything further?
No, I was submitting the matter.
All right. Thank you. All right. The case is submitted. Counselor excused. Thank you both.